This is a study you're going to have to think about. Now we're going to go into scriptures, and I've highlighted some. Then we'll take one paragraph or a few verses at a time so you understand the verses, because they'll come up later. So if we will turn to page 9, part 5, we have what?
The conditions that brought on the flood.
Right, so we're going to Genesis, obviously, chapter 6, 1 through 8.
When men began to increase in number on the earth, and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. Then the Lord said, "My spirit will not contend with man forever. For he is mortal, his days will be 120 years.
Now, what is the issue here? What was the one thing that God drew the line? Because there are a lot of people?
No.
Because evil was on their minds all the time?
Yes.
No.
Sons of God.
The sons of God. Now, it comes up later, but let me tell you. The sons of God in the Old Testament is referring to something different than the New Testament. If you're a believer, you are a son or daughter of God. That's New Testament. In the Old Testament, they're demons. They're demons. And that's the issue here. And we'll get into that. I'm just showing you the verses. Now, do you believe that demons can manifest and do things with people?
Yes.
Turn to Acts 19, 13 to 16. You remember what happened when these people were casting out demons and doing it in different names and so on? And the demons spoke to them and said, "Well, we know Jesus and we know Paul, but we don't know you." Wham, bam, bam. They ran out of the house bruised and naked. Somebody read that for us. Acts 19. 13.
Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, cast out you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them overpowered them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded.
Now, how many people have never seen that verse or heard it before? Is that new to you? Well, what's very interesting, and I can make a whole message on that. The demons knew Jesus. It says that in James also. And they knew Paul. Because obviously, he was their adversary. Paul was the adversary of the demons. Wherever the gospel is going out, that's where they are. And so here these guys are casting out in the name of Jesus. And maybe you've seen them on TV doing the same thing. And what happened? The demons beat them up. They physically did things to them, ripped their clothes off and everything else. So demons can get involved in the human domain, so to speak, right? Okay, let's go on to the next
one. Paul, do they have to go into somebody else's body to do these things?
Yes, they would have to have a...
Well, it states that in verse 16. A man who had the evil spirit jumped on them.
Right. So actually, they would take it that it's not the demons beating them up, but the people that had the demons. But remember, who's in charge if you're possessed? It's the demon. That's the issue there. Right. Okay, verse 4.
The Holy Spirit wasn't involved at all. Is that right?
No way.
Number 4. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God went to the daughters of men and had children by them. They were the heroes of all, men of renown. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become.
Now, what does that mean? They went into them. In the Bible, when he went in to her, that's sex.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what's going on here? Depends on your translation. The King James has a little bit better. They took wives. Do you have that? They took wives, yes. That's a better translation. It doesn't mean that they went out and looked for a woman and got married and had a wife. They took a married woman. In other words, they demonized some guy and he raped a married woman. That's it. All right? And unusual results took place. Okay, let's go on to 6. We're just getting the Bible verses.
The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind, whom I have created, from the face of the earth, men and animals, and creatures that move along the ground, and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them.
Now that's the part that varies, that those verses. Because he doesn't do that when the rapture comes and the tribulation begins at some point. We don't have the beginning of the tribulation with the total destruction. See, there's a difference there. But the issue is when the sons of God got involved. B. As
the day of
Noses. This is Greek. The Greek translation as is what? Emphatic. It is not just a simile. There are going to be things that are exactly the same. In other words, we are going to have demons possessing men, raping married women. Let's read the next, Matthew 24.
As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man.
All right. Now, you see that today in the churches? People are totally unaware. They're just going about their daily routines, and they're complaining that things aren't too good. But after a while, they get used to them. They get used to them. Because we're frogs in boiling water. This is what's happened. I don't want to be a frog in the boiling water. I don't want to get used to sin. It's a reproach to a nation. And certainly to an individual and to a church. We do not follow the Bible. We allow sin to go on and on and on. And don't deal with it the right way. Corinthians, it tells us how to deal with a believer who has sinned. Especially gross sins that are mentioned. Fornication and such. In love.
It's not just the individual, it's the nations that sin too, our leaders. And
but the nation is made up of people. A nation can't sin. No, a nation can't sin. When it says the White House said this, do you see the door wagging back and forth and the windows going up and down, the eyelids blinking? When the White House said this, 10 Downey Street said that. No, there are people behind it, certainly. But we're talking about the church right here. The world's the world. But when we have the world in the church, and that's what God says, that's when he's coming. That's one of the main signs. Okay, next verse, 40.
40. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come.
Okay, now Rick Warren has totally distorted this verse, replaced it with what was said in Acts, and so on and so forth. What is Jesus speaking about, and who's he speaking to? He's speaking to the believers. This is the Olivet Discourse. They had come from the temple, and his apostles were asking him questions because he talked about the temple being destroyed and raised in 3 days and all kinds of stuff. Is he speaking about the second coming or the rapture?
The rapture.
How do you know it has to be the rapture?
Because they took one and left another.
Yes, exactly. The one that was taken would be in the church. So, who is it going to be a thief in the night for? The person who's taken or the person left? The person left. Well, what about those people that think they're in the church, but they're not in the church? Then this applies to them. Right? Yes. Exactly. Okay, so next.
But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him.
Now, this is sad in one way. An hour we don't expect him, because that's what it says it's going to be. So that's the verse, and many verses, to say we aren't going to know the day of the hour, but we can know regarding the tribulation, and the tribulation is going to take place after the rapture at some point. The rapture has to be before that, and et cetera, et cetera. You follow me? If you have certain conditions that are met, and then you have some variables in there, but those variables have to fit other conditions, eventually you can begin to see a pattern. Does that make sense? So keep in mind, the final straw with God was not that evil was on their mind all the time and all the fornication. It was when the angels crossed the barrier. That's when. Okay, let's then go to, what is that below? I can't see it. One?
One, the population of the earth by the time of the flood was at least 6 billion.
And you say, well, how do you calculate that? I'm not going to go into the whole scientific thing, but you can talk. Go back to Genesis 5. It shows their lifespan. It shows when they had children. And they said sons and daughters, so we take a minimum of 4 children for each of those. And then you multiply and keep going out and going out, and that's how they came across that. Okay, next.
And the population of the earth today is about the same.
Yes. So that's just another parallel. Whether it's significant or not, I don't know, but it's interesting. Three.
God first judged the earth by water. He will judge next time by fire.
Why water versus fire? Water is symbolic of cleansing and baptizing, all this thing. There's a whole thing. It talks about baptizing to Noah, baptizing to Moses, and so on. That's not salvation issues, or like we would be baptized after salvation. It's just a generic term of that, to be included in, that they were saved. Noah was on top of the water, not under the water. Okay? We can go into a lot with that, but I don't want to sidetrack. Okay, next.
Number three, people were
number
so
four.
No, three.
Oh, three? Oh.
People
three
were so
right?
corrupt that they ignored and made fun of God's warnings.
I thought four came before three. Okay. Okay, did you get that?
And people are doing that today.
Yeah.
When a Christian tries to give them warning, they make fun of it.
Yeah.
Christians make fun of it.
Yes.
Right. Four.
Evil was on their minds all the time. There was widespread violence and gross sexual immorality.
Now, those are the two things that most people think of. Evil on their mind all the time.
Yeah.
Gross sexual perverted activities. Mm-hmm. Notice it didn't talk about idolatry.
No.
Why? When there is idolatry, the others will follow. Idolatry is a sin of the spirit. These are sins of the flesh. If the spirit is wrong, the flesh will definitely be wrong. When you've got a spiritual problem in the church, you can almost guarantee there's sex and money issues there as well, right?
Well, doesn't the sex and that become idolatry to some people?
Yeah, okay. I suppose. Yeah, in the broadest sense of it, sure. But they've long passed that.
And that widespread violence, I mean, kids are hitting people on trains and beating them up. It's terrible.
Well, we'll see what really happened. Number five.
The sons of God left their domain. Demonized or entered and possessed certain men and took wives. Raped married women.
Okay.
And produced unnatural children.
See.
The time of Noah, people were completely focused on the things of the world. So will people be just before the Lord's return. This also includes the majority of people who claim to be Christians but are not.
Yes, and by their own words, condemning themselves. There are like 6 or 7 major principles in the Bible that you must believe to be a Christian. You cannot believe that Jesus was just a nice man if he is not God. If Jesus sinned, those kinds of things, definitely you could not be saved. What do we have next?
Revelation 3:15-16.
Okay.
I know your deeds, that you are neither hot or cold against me, nor hot for me. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth.
All right, number one explains this.
The majority of successful, according to worldly standards, preach a gospel of greed and the desire for temporal things.
Yes. Now, only certain societies that gospel could go over. You can't preach that in poverty.
No.
No.
Many church leaders are using their positions to gain personal wealth.
True.
Many churches overlook sins among its leaders and members with a gospel of love, acceptance, and forgiveness without repentance. Confession, holiness, righteousness, and justice.
That's the total Jesus. You can't take one part without the other. Right.
Well, in today's gospel, it's tolerance.
Yeah.
Only if you agree with
them. Well, that's the secular world.
Yeah.
They're tolerant about... They preach tolerance to everything about Christianity, but Christianity is an exception to the tolerance.
Well, tolerance only if you believe what they believe. Right. Yeah. They're not tolerant otherwise.
The only absolute is that there are no absolutes. Okay, four. It's an oxymoron.
Yeah.
But you'll see why that they believe that when we get to Romans 1. Four.
Okay. Number four. Most of us are aware of these similarities between the days of Noah and the time in which we are living.
All right, indeed.
Romans chapter 1 reveals the progression of a society or nation without repentance, moving from bad to worse.
Okay, now take one section at a time. Condition 1.
God has made himself known to all people throughout history. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them.
Okay, that's exactly what we're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and you see it all the time. Okay, so why do we have to keep talking about it?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, we need to see what the Lord is doing. Condition 2.
No one has an excuse for not knowing basic truth from lies. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse.
Now, don't gloss over that. How? How can everybody, what if they don't have a Bible?
Look at nature for one thing.
But what's in them? Well, sin's not going to help you discern the truth.
But God has been evident all around them.
No, we're talking about everybody in the world. I'm not talking about the nature. How can they determine it in nature if they didn't have something in them?
Conscience.
People, conscience. There are people that got saved and don't have a Bible. Exactly. You study cultures that have not seen the Western world. Now, of course, you have to go back a long time. But they all had some view. There was some greater power, and there were problems with evil and all that. They figured this all out because of reality. Right? Okay, now let's go on to the step two.
Page 11. Stage 1, rebellion against God. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile.
Alright, so what is this?
And their foolish hearts were darkened.
So, what does it mean?
They knew God, they heard about Him.
All right, so they're not going to have any excuses.
No.
Right?
No.
No.
Are you talking about believers or unbelievers here? For they knew God.
People in general.
People in general?
Yes, because of the conscience.
Because of their conscience.
Yes, because of the conscience. Right. And by the way, Romans chapter 1 is an overview of a declining society and nation. But it can affect an individual, of course. All right, stage 2.
Pride leads to sinning against God. Although they claimed to be wise, they became foolish and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles.
Now we see that happening a long time ago or today? We can see that today. They even wear it on their skin.
Yeah.
That's all religious stuff. That's satanical stuff in that. It's right out there in the open, people. Exchange the truth for a lie, you will become a fool. And you'll see where that leads to if you don't repent, or a nation doesn't repent. Do we have a government that is foolish? Yes, we definitely have. This applies definitely to us. Next.
Stage 3. Retribution, consequences of sin results. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another.
Now what this means when God gives them over, He pulls back the restraining of the Holy Spirit and says, go for it. Now we saw that in the 60s with the heterosexual revolution. Alright? Now there's always been homosexuality, but not rampant. It starts there. Right? And we saw that. And now what happens?
Stage 4, deception, believing a lie. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen.
Now we see this in what? Big time. The environmental movement. You know, Brian McLean, and you've gone to some of these emerging church people, he said John 3:16 has been misinterpreted. For God so loved the world. That means the world itself, not the people, the world. And we are to help save the planet. And so what they do to dedicate themselves, and they come forward after His message, and they put their hand in some dirt in some bowls and move it to another place, that they're committing themselves. Can you see that as idol involvement? Yeah, very satanic, but that's what people are doing it by the thousands, people. Maybe your church will start doing it someday. Who knows? Well, you don't know. You don't know. Five.
Because of no repentance, God removes his protection and allows the enemy to bring judgment to seek repentance. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another.
Okay, the women go first in the homosexual and then the men in large numbers. We saw that in the women's movement, by the way. Next.
Stage six, a form of strange flesh resulted known as homosexuality, and with no repentance, God withdrew even further. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done.
Now here you go.
Yeah.
When it reaches that point, a depraved mind comes in. And I believe that's where we are. And I'm going to show you. Next.
With a depraved mind, they could not distinguish between good and evil. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, and ruthless.
So be it.
They are not able to recover beyond the point of no return. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them.
All right, now the next page is explanation of Romans 1.
One, this is a progression of stages resulting from unrepented sins. Number two, there is a pattern of how God deals with unrepented sin. Number three, when repentance does not take place within a specific time period, known only to the Lord, the Holy Spirit moves back, as did the glory of God from the Holy of Holies in the Temple of Solomon.
Okay, so there's the pattern. So when there's rebuking going on, no repentance for that particular sin, God pulls up, allowing the enemy to come in, make it worse, so people would wake up and repent. And when that doesn't happen, the pattern keeps going and going and going until what happens? You have a depraved mind or society. And there's no point in return after that.
For not only does the Holy Spirit move back, he also turns them over. What does this mean? He removes his protection and allows the demons to move in. Number five, the downward progression continues from the worshiping of nature to heterosexual fornication and then to homosexual fornication. I believe many people do not see the next and final stage in the downward progression from unrepented sins. Romans 1 is referring to a society and nation, and certainly individuals are involved because they make up society and its nation. The last phase is characterized by a depraved mind. Once this stage is reached, there is no return, regardless of what one does. 9. The depraved mind can be described as demonically influenced or possessed. I believe when the Supreme Court of the U.S. mandated that all states must allow and perform homosexual marriages, the line was crossed into depravity.
Yes, it is. If you believe in Romans chapter 1, it is. It absolutely is. So it's over, people. Okay? So start looking for the Lord.
Part 6. The final event that led to the destruction of the earth by water
and the event that will lead to the destruction of the earth by fire? A. Does the world today meet the conditions as in the days of Noah? 1. Yes and no. 2. I believe all the conditions have been met except 1. 3. The one unmet condition is the major focus of this study. B. The worldview of the universe and life is based on evolution, and God's truth is based on creation. 2 Peter 3:13. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water.
Okay, now, that's an answer to the evolutionary view of uniformitarianism. Right there, those verses, if you have that debate. Okay, next.
6. By these waters, also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire and the earth, and everything in it will be laid bare. 11. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destructions of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. 1. Evolution in general is a belief that the world is moving from disorder to order, and referred to as uniformitarianism. 2. Personal and scientific observations confirm what God reveals in his word is the truth, that the world has gone and is going from order to disorder, referred to as creation and sin. 3. The Lord addresses the issue of catastrophic as opposed to evolutionary in many verses throughout the Bible, including 2 Peter 3:3-13. 4. Truth does not seem to be the real issue with evolutionists. They do not want to be submissive to a higher authority and be deprived of their sinful desires.
Okay, just a side note here. When he talked about 1,000 years like a day and a day like 1,000 years, some people think this is kind of a coded message, and they interpret it this way, that Jesus talked about 3 days for his second coming. I don't mean the second coming, new heaven and new earth. So they take the millennium as 1,000 years from the cross to the millennium as 2,000 years. Now, that could fit if you go, depends on how you calculate it, but we're within those numbers. So that's another thing, I'll make a big thing out of that, but that's kind of what that refers to. Basically, what the scoffers are saying, by the way, the scoffers are in the church. This is written to the church. The scoffers are in the church. The world's always scoffed. No, they're in the church. It's gone on so long, but look at it this way. The closer it gets, the more the scoffing. Isn't that something?
Are you talking about the leadership?
Talking about the rapture. The closer it gets for the Lord to take us out, the more people are denouncing the rapture and denouncing all kinds of things about Jesus, which is prophetic in itself. But isn't that something? Have you ever been in a situation where, like, you're in a line at Walmart or something, and you pick what you thought was the shortest line, but somebody up there?
Yeah.
Then you change these lines, and that line all of a sudden goes through, and you're over there.
Yeah.
That's the principle. That's the principle. God's experience, right? We get impatient, right? So what's the impatient going to be for the true dedicated believer is, Lord, why do you keep allowing all this to happen? And the answer is coming up, because I don't want anybody left out. So when you get impatient, just think, there's somebody that's going to get saved and come with us.
And also, if you
have
been
patient, you would
be.
Yeah.
Not
for someone else, but it's patient for us.
Could have
happened before we
said. Yeah, he waited for you, or me. Amen. Good point. See.
See, the links are between. One, depraved minds are here today as well as before in history. 1 Peter 3:19-22. 19, after being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirit who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God.
Okay, now explains that right there. Now, when he went to preach to that, those are the people in Tartarus. I gave you that revision on that because I found the name for that compartment below Hades. Tartarus, and that's what it refers to, okay?
22, it saved you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. 2 Peter 2:4-22. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment, if he did not spare the
angels... And hell there is Tartarus, okay?
If he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and 7 others, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes, and made them an example of what's going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. 10. This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the sinful nature and despise authority. Bold and arrogant, these men are not afraid to slander celestial beings. Yet even angels, although they are stronger and more powerful, do not bring slanderous accusations against such beings in the presence of the Lord. 12. But these men blaspheme in matters they do not understand. They're like brute beasts, creatures of instinct, born only to be caught and destroyed. And like beasts, they too will perish. They will be paid back with harm for the harm they have done. Their idea of pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their pleasures while they feast with you. With eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed and a cursed brood. 15, they have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. But he was rebuked for his wrong doing by a donkey, a beast without speech, who spoke with a man's voice and restrained the prophet's madness. 17. These men are springs without water and mist driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them, for they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of sinful human nature, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. 19. They promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity, for a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in it and overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. 21. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them the Proverbs are true. A dog must return to its vomit, and a sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud.
Now, this is not referring to somebody who was a true believer and lost her salvation. Right? Now, on the next page, 12, we have a lot from Jude. And Jude refers to many of the same things that we just read in Peter, 2 Peter, but I put that in there. It's something you can do on your own. There we have the evidence about Enoch. We also have the saints as sons of God. We have what our churches and church leaders are going to be like today. And someone were at the time of Jude. Remember, Jude was a half-brother of Jesus, a full brother of James of the book of James, the pastor of the Jerusalem church. Oh, wait. We're skipping the one on Jude because of our time. I just explained it covers many of the same things, but it's scriptural evidence. Page 16, number 2.
Okay, number 2. We need to move from the prophecies in Jude and Peter and consider what really took place in Sodom and Gomorrah that is relevant to the final condition being met when God drew the line and destroyed the earth by water. 3. The key phrase is strange flesh. A. The term flesh can be misleading because flesh is thought of as that of a human or an animal body. 1 Corinthians 15:39-40. Not all flesh is the same. People have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another.
Now, this also explains that you don't have transmigration, right? Reptiles into mammals and all that kind of stuff. But the key here is what? Heavenly bodies do have a form of flesh, different from ours. And this is the whole thing now we're going to zero on, is strange flesh. B.
Strange has to do with the idea of not belonging with and should not be connected to. The issue is crossing barriers God has created for separation. C. One major example revealed in Romans chapter 1 is the flesh of men, males, and women, females. One, men's, male's flesh is certainly different from women's, female's flesh in some ways and vice versa. Two, this has to do with sexually combining human or animal bodies. Three, since God ordained marriage and marriage between a man and a woman, then men with men and women with women would be considered as strange flesh. D, there is another form of strange flesh. One, angels have a different flesh than people or animals. Two, fallen angels are demons and Satan is their leader. Three, the Bible reveals that angels can manifest as human men, as in the cases of two of the men who appeared to Abraham on their way to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. A, the men of Sodom sexually lusted after these two men. B, they were righteous angels and kept their domain.
Now that's the key. They did not cross over. Next.
4. Prior to the flood, at the time of Noah, there were several demons who left their domain and had sex with human women, strange flesh. A. Demonic beings are called Son of God in the Old Testament, and sons of God in the New Testament refer to believers. B. This act provoked God to destroy the earth by water. 7. On the next page. The final destruction comes in stages. A. The flood at the time of Noah came suddenly. B. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah came suddenly. C. The final destruction of the earth will come in the following stages. 1. The following timeline indicates two specific periods. periods of time.
Okay, now that's the same as the other one, except I added number six, which is the millennium. Right? Okay, so an explanation, number two.
Two, one period contains 7 years and is referred to as the tribulation. A, the tribulation begins more than likely after the church age, which culminates with the rapture. B, the tribulation ends after two 1260 prophetic day periods or 7 years when the Lord returns to complete the judgments. Three, unlike the flood at the time of Noah, the earth will not completely be destroyed by the judgments described in Revelation. Four, the above timeline has an additional period of time indicated by six, which represents the millennium. A, the millennium is the second specific period of time of 1,000 years. B, the millennium begins after the tribulation plus 75 days. One, during the 75 days, several events will take place, including the following. Two, sheep and goat judgment. Three, bema judgment of rewards for believers. Four, marriage feast of the Lamb. C, during the millennium, the curse from the time of Adam and Eve will be partially lifted. D, lifespan will be increased for those in human flesh. E, the throne of David will be the Lord's, and David will rule over the nation of Israel, the only nation to survive the tribulation. F, the governmental and religious affairs will be in the hands of the Lord. He will be both king and high priest. 5. At the end of the millennium, the earth and heavens will be destroyed by fire and made new, which begins the eternal state.
Okay, now, we read a lot there, but some of that's just review, and that's not the point of this lesson, is to go into all the details of the millennium and the tribulation. But you get the difference now in the destruction. So what is going to come suddenly is the rapture. And the people that aren't saved, obviously, are going to be aware of it until after it occurs, and there's going to be a lot of confusion and things like this. But we do see that there is fire involved in the judgments, right? A lot of that involved. Could be nuclear, all kinds of other things, but this is burned up. A third of this is burned up and all that stuff. So fire is being used to begin the judgment. Again, there's a time of repentance. And there will be people saved during that time of the tribulation. And then we see a partial restoration of the curse during the millennium. So the final destruction and redoing of the earth comes at the end of the millennium. See the difference there? And what we're trying to point out now is what event is probably going to trigger the rapture. When the church people can no longer exist.
You said there was one thing that hadn't come yet.
Right.
And I just wanted to know if that's what you're leading up to.
And that's coming.
Okay. I want to know. Well, no, I said I'm not sure I'll be.
It has to do with strange flesh. Okay. Part 8. We're going to compare Noah, Sodom and Gomorrah, and today.
Comparing the flood of Noah with Sodom and Gomorrah and the time prior to the beginning of the tribulation. That's what it says at the top.
Now, we know that first part, the condition.
Noah, conditions, violence, immorality, strange flesh, homosexual and demonic human.
Well, now look at Sodom.
Conditions, violence, immorality, and strange flesh relating to homosexual.
What's the difference?
Demonic.
No demonic, strange flesh. Today?
Oh, and today, violence, immorality, and strange flesh.
Right.
Same as Sodom and Gomorrah.
Exactly. And then going down?
The results. Noah, God gave a message to Enoch when the flood would come. Enoch and his family, including Noah, preached God's warning. Time of Sodom and Gomorrah, God intervened prior to the demons leaving their domain, as they did at the time of Noah.
Was there any preaching?
No.
And then, the results. God sent his messengers to personally warn Lot to leave Sodom, Lot, his wife, and two daughters left Sodom before the judgment. Today, will God intervene prior to the demons leaving their domain? Question. Results. We have the completed Bible through which God has warned us, through the prophetic writings which directly apply to those living prior to his return and the rapture.
Now you see the differences there? So what we need to look at are both. Both are involved. That's what it says. It says it in Jude 2, as in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah as well. And there are differences between Noah's day and Sodom and Gomorrah's day. The conditions are the same, except the demonic part had not occurred yet. The sons of God had not crossed over yet. No indication of that. But they were at the point of depraved minds because of the homosexual being so prominent there. So if God had not intervened, we would have the same thing that happened at the time of Noah, and he'd have to destroy everything. You see that? Maybe you haven't seen it before. Sodom and Gomorrah is a microcosm of what's to come. It was done to a regional area. And these people were taken out, and all people weren't really believers. And that situation, we know that. But the fact is that he stopped that there because that was where all of this was going on, majorly, as a warning to the world. But it's also a message to us today. Like Noah, like Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay, so let's draw some conclusions.
All the righteous people other than Noah and his family have died. Or in the case of Enoch, he was raptured to paradise. God had Noah and his sons prepare an ark which would enable them to be removed from the judgment. The events which picture Noah provides a picture of a type of rapture which would take place with Lot and his family in the future. And then in Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot and his family left the city, but they did not completely obey God. Lot wanted to go to a different town than he was told. His wife looked back and was judged. His two daughters committed a strange flesh sin by having a relationship of incest with their father, which resulted in the Moabites and the Ammonites. And then today, I strongly believe that we will not be like the days of Lot, but rather like the days of Noah. This means that our society will experience strange flesh by demons possessing men to rape women, and at some point after this takes place, God will begin his final judgment on earth with fire known as the tribulation.
Okay, keep going.
That's it. You want me to go to now?
Yep.
Conclusions. The Lord wants to and has communicated with his church and his people. The prophecies in the scriptures can have a pre-filling and a future or final filling taking place during various time periods. Events that are prophesied for various time periods have a pattern where the final event will be greater and affect more people and nations. The prophecies in this study fit this pattern. The nation of Israel, its political and religious leaders, were not prepared or even desiring the first coming of the Messiah and rejected him for various reasons. However, many of the common people did receive their Messiah. The Lord has revealed to his church that the same social and religious climate existing at the first coming would be the same prior to his second. The days of Noah established the conditions of society and revealed the final sins that led to the strange flesh activity where the Lord drew the line and destroyed the earth by water and rescued Noah and his family.
Just to let people know, we're on page 19. Okay.
Yes. We're in H. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah reveals a precursor to what will take place at the end of the age. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed by fire, and Lot and his family were rescued. The major differences between what happened in Noah's time and Lot's time were, 1, water versus fire, 2, demonic human, strange flesh, versus attempts of strange flesh, where the men of Sodom attacked Lot and his home to have sexual relations with who they thought were men, but they were angels, not fallen angels, demons. However, there was homosexual strange flesh. Noah experienced a type of rapture when he was lifted above the floodwaters, versus Lot experienced a type of rapture when he was removed from the final location of the judgment. The total earth was judged by water at the time of Noah, versus a regional part of the earth judged by fire at the time of Lot. By combining the condition and events of Noah and Lot, we can have a clear view of the conditions and events that will take place prior to the tribulation. Therefore, the timing of the rapture can be more narrowly defined. Most church leaders and professing Christians will not only not be prepared, but they will be scoffing regarding his coming and denying the concepts and promises of the rapture. Even the truth about the resurrection is being denied more and more, that Jesus Christ spiritually resurrected rather than what scriptures reveal, where Jesus Christ experienced a bodily resurrection. The closer the rapture and the return of Christ Jesus, the more church leaders who once believed in the bodily resurrection and the rapture are denying them, which is fulfillment of prophecy. The Lord has made provisions in His Word to be revealed and discerned during the period of time before the tribulation begins. This study has attempted to reveal various prophecies that indicate the one event where the Lord has drawn the line for judgment to fall on the entire earth, described in the scriptures as the day of the Lord of the tribulation. This event is known as the final strange flesh sin, which is between fallen angels, demons, and various humans. Are we now in the demonic stage where demons possess humans and perform violent, perverted sexual acts?
Okay, it continues on page 20.
To help answer this question, considering the following facts. One, if it is not already here, then the world is being prepared for it to take place very soon.
A little louder in the mic.
Then the world is being prepared for it to take place very soon. Porno is a Greek word where we get the term pharmaceutical and pornography. This refers to drugs and visual sexual images. These two sins are a gateway into the demonic world and can open one up to demon possession. If the Holy Spirit has removed restraints in keeping demons from leaving their domain and connecting to humans, then a strange flesh situation could take place. If we add to this situation depraved minds, then the stage is set for the tribulation to begin. And if the tribulation is about to take place, then the rapture is on the way. There are many examples other than the use of drugs and pornography. Computer software allows one to have perverted sexual activities with so-called virtual reality. 50 Shades of Grey promotes violent perverted sex. It is only a matter of time before more and more demonic-inspired activities will take place and involve more and more people. More and more restrainers appear to be going home with the Lord, and the Holy Spirit seems to be removing more and more restraints. Satan is not winning the war. The Lord is using him and his demons to judge the world and prepare the way for the rapturous church and his return to carry out the judgment of the ungodly. What should believers be doing about this? Continue or start being a restrainer against evil? 2, live a restrained life. 3, reach out through prayer and sharing the gospel with those who are affected by an unrestrained society and nation. 4, cry out, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Follow up, restudy this lesson on your own, invite others to study it with you, direct those who have access to the internet to listen to the lesson, and follow the outline posted on the following website. And then order a copy of the CD, which contains a recording of the class session when this lesson was presented, and share it with others.
Okay.
Amen.
So it is the strange flesh of demonic and human. Now, are we seeing that on the news?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, you are.
And what is more scary is that society and the church are accepting and being more lenient more compassion about those situations.
Yes. Well, it's getting down to the point that how many people are left in the days of Noah? And I'm not going to say it's going to be 8 people, but the numbers are dwindling, people. As every true believer, when I attend a service for somebody that I believe is a believer, and I see all the people there, take Harry's service as an example, there is one less restrainer. And then you look out there and see the elderly. As your generation, my generation leave, less restraining. We are the restrainers. The Holy Spirit in general, but the Holy Spirit dwells within the person, is to be a restrainer. This crazy sex, whatever, most of us, probably all of us, cannot understand how you can have sex and kill each other. That smut has been in the gay world for decades. It's called smut, pornography. It was illegal, of course. But we're actually, there was killing. Sometimes it wasn't meant to be. It was just be more excited. Of course, they're on drugs and everything else, but they start just cutting each other a little bit. And the blood, and it's like a vampire thing, and whatever it gets. But Satan takes the greatest things of God and perverts them the greatest, and sex is one of those. All right?
It's amazing, Paul, how this 50 Shades of Grey has really taken hold. And it's among women.
That's just, to me, a major example. Now, I have an article on the Shades of Grey. I was going to read that, but time is out. It's an excellent article on The Last Trumpet. A synopsis of that movie and what it is doing.
Well, it started with books.
But you see, the women's liberation movement has set this up.
Yeah.
Because women were created to desire men. And I don't mean go into all this submission and all that out of kilter, but there is that built in there, that God created it that way. But when you have a woman trying to prove that she's better than a man or is equal to a man, that is totally stupid. There's no reason why a woman should have to prove that she is a value. God already says so. Just read that in Ephesians, what he says about women and so on and so forth. No, but see, that set it up, because the women were following that. Now they have this inner desire that's missing, so now they're going after it in this demonic way. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words to us, and I know as this came to me, and I worked on this for a long, long time, Lord, that there was a message there for us today, Lord, and I believe that it is accurate based on your words. And Lord, we're going to see this. And so we as believers need to quit trying to figure out society, Father. You already said what it's going to be like. And even what's necessarily going on in the church, we should be motivated to our own righteous living, to staying close to you and being restrainers, to encourage people. There are people who have no idea what's going on. And people that are suffering because of all this stuff, and they have no idea. They've never had light in their life. They don't know about the Lord. And that should motivate us to get good Bible tracts or whatever, to know the gospel, to know how to give an answer to somebody who may ask, and you see somebody, Lord, that we become more daring to share you in these times, Father, because there are people out there that will listen. Lord, so we put that before in the name of our Lord and Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.